Before this episode starts, I'd just like to clarify that this podcast will be a weekly endeavour. However, I have had a few assignments and such to catch up on, so from now on it should be much more regular. There are a few episodes in the work, so this should be out every week, generally on a Sunday. Thanks for listening, thanks for downloading, I really appreciate it. Cheers. You're listening to All This Talk with Angus Rioch. Thank you for downloading this podcast. With Anzac Day tomorrow, I felt that I should talk a little bit, and I do mean only a little bit, about the Anzac tradition. For you aren't likely to hear much reasoned discussion in the mainstream of what has become our most defining national identity, beyond the usual platitudes of mateship and diggers and bravery in some form or another. So I've decided to take a break with the conventional and to hopefully inject at least just a small element of clarity in the national discussion. Whatever the young men fought for in the Great War, whatever image they had of protecting the realm, whatever perceived sacrifice or glory they were operating upon, the Gallipoli campaign was a complete and utter waste of human life. It achieved no strategic purpose, it was barely thought through, and its only successful initiative was in its retreat. The men who came back from it were the survivors of one of the worst thought-out campaigns in modern warfare. This is not in any sense to deny the very real bravery and grace under pressure that undoubtedly did take place, although this must not be blindly accepted without some degree of validity, and I myself must express my scepticism of the whole concept of military honour in the first place. Nonetheless, this is not to disparage the troops themselves. What it is to suggest, however, is how truly pathetic the campaign was. Yet another display of the casual ignorance shown to men's lives by their so-called leaders in what was ultimately an unavoidable war. It is also to suggest that Gallipoli, and indeed the Anzac tradition to begin with, is nothing to celebrate. I'm shocked by how we're supposed to give thanks or celebrate this tradition, honouring those that died so that we might live, unquote. This is to me the completely opposite lesson that we should take away from Gallipoli. For what history has taught us is that this conflict was insignificant, thoroughly meaningless, and overall a waste of human life. This is not a legacy to be honoured, it is a legacy to be appalled by, to grieve, and to willfully regret. Yet by thanking and honouring this tradition, in many senses we are validating what occurred. The war is seen as unpleasant even horrifying, yet is justified in the sense that now we may live free. This is precisely the same lie built upon our occupation of Aboriginal land, the kind that the Liberal Party voiced only yesterday, that despite the horrors of past occurrences, the net gains of Australian society are greater than the losses. Ergo, the violence in establishing our country is now justified. This kind of thinking has real consequences, for it allows us to distort the lessons of history to our self-serving ends. For it demeans these experiences of any real substance, save for an ex-post justification by the prosperous. The famous quotation, "History is written by the winners," is aptly unsourced. It's a universal truth that those who rule attempt to justify their social structures as necessary and even righteous. When understood in this context, politicians have no real place at any Anzac memorial service unless they commit themselves against war and against injustice. Those who vote to take us into Afghanistan, let alone Iraq, have no place in honouring dead soldiers. Must we also mention Vietnam, Korea, and so many others? Australia's record of being the only nation to join in every single modern war that the US has engaged in is proof that we clearly do not take the Gallipoli legacy seriously. Martin Luther King Jr. once said that the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. I still believe that this is true, and I see it when I look at the American public, who are finally beginning to catch on to the lies of politicians, businessmen, and warmongers, or as otherwise known, Republicans and Democrats. Yet I fear for Australia. And I hope that we are not mugged by these falsehoods, these self-serving lies, justifying the deaths of thousands, both here and abroad. I'll leave by quoting from this famous summary of war by a former US general, and to my mind, the only fitting tribute that we can and should offer to those fallen in past wars. War is a racket. It has always been. It is possibly the oldest, easily the most profitable, surely the most vicious. It is the only one international in scope. It is the only one in which the profits are reckoned in dollars and the losses in lives. A racket is best described, I believe, as something that is not what it seems to the majority of the people. Only a small inside group knows what it is about. It is conducted for the benefit of the very few at the expense of the very many. Out of war, a few people make huge fortunes. We should remember that next time we honor the dead. That they're not the sacrifice, they're the cost of doing business. And to take us out a midnight oil.